سبسیدی فرمائیے. اللہ اکبر. سبحانک اللہ. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله يا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة ربنا هب لنا من لدنك رحمة اللهم إنك غفور سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. صدق الله العظيم.
We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon my master, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again reminding ourselves that it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam upon us that we have the honor of sitting in the masjid and learning about the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Qur'an. Before continuing, inshallah, as Maghrib time is now getting later and later, today's tafsir will be capped at around 30 to 40 minutes. So all brothers are requested to sit, participate, and take benefit, especially considering that it is the bank holiday weekend and many of our young brothers will be starting their half-term holidays. So we have time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Last week, in the dars, we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to seek refuge in Him through قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. In Surah Al-Falaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to seek protection from the difficulties of the dunya, meaning that the trials and tribulations that were mentioned in Surah Al-Falaq can damage us and cause us harm in the world. And in Surah Al-Nas, the trials and tribulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions can damage us in the Akhirah. And to reflect the importance, the Mufassireen have pointed out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned one of his qualities in قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. In قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three of his qualities. So to begin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. قُلْ, say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam to say and to also tell the Muslim ummah to say. Say what? A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. I seek refuge in the Lord of the people. The Mufassireen point out that in Surah Al-Falaq, the trials and tribulations mentioned were encompassing of all creation. Because the, for example, sihr, jealousy, these things can affect not only human beings but animals as well. It can affect property as well. It can affect the materialistic aspect of the dunya as well. Whereas the trials and tribulations mentioned in Surah An-Nas are restricted to humans and jinnat. So this is why over here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified in Surah Al-Falaq, it was بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, which was a general sifa and a general statement. Whereas here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified humans. So the next question is that I said that the difficulties mentioned in Surah An-Nas affect the humans and the jinnat. So why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned only the people, only human, the human race? So the answer is that Mufassireen have said that this is to highlight the higher status that Allah has given to human beings over the jinnah, the human species, the human race. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have a higher status than the jinnat. There are many, many evidences of that. There are many examples of that. And the greatest example that comes to mind is that the greatest, single greatest man, the greatest creation, the most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was none other than my beloved master Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was a human being. So this itself is evidence of this, that the human being have a higher status than the jinnah. This ayah, this verse also reflects that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, Malikin Nas, the king of the people, Ilahin Nas, the God of the people. Ilah, have translated it as God. Actually, in Arabic, Ilah takes the meaning of Ma'bud, the one who is worshipped. And generally speaking, a God is worshipped. Hence, I use that particular translation. Now, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned three qualities: Rabb, Malik, and Ilah. Rabb, we mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha, is the name of one who nurtures. Rabb can be the name, Rabb, the title Rabb, can be given to Ghayrullah, someone other than Allah as well. For example, an owner of a particular item can be called in Arabic Rabbul Mal. In Arabic also, the owner of a slave can be called Rabb as well. And like that, Rabb has many other uses other than that given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first said Rabb. However, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Rabbin Nas, it's possible that there was a doubt here in the hearts of the people that this could be somebody else as well. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further reiterates this, reiterates his tawheed, reiterates his oneness by saying Malik. Now, this specifies it down even more, because not all Rabs, I mentioned a couple of examples just now, not all of them will be a king. But both of these qualities will exist in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, the same possibility arises that someone could have this doubt within them that, you know, a person, ghayrullah, can also be a Rabb and he can also be a king. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further specifies himself by mentioning his sifa of ilah, that not, you won't find, or very rarely you might find a person who is a Rabb, who is a Malik, who is an ilah as well. However, these three qualities exist, coexist within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another point that the Mufassirin have brought here is that all three of these qualities have the quality of protection in them. A person who is an owner of some property, he feels protective over his property. He takes care of his property, he looks after it. He protects it, he makes sure that nobody will damage it. A malik, a king, he looks after his people. If his nation come under attack, he will organize for the army to go out and defend the country. And a ma'bud, a god, he also protects those who are worshipping him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used these three qualities, all which contain the quality of safeguarding and protection. Of course, we are praying this surah. The surah was revealed. The whole purpose of the surah is to seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, this also reflects the whole purpose of Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq and Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. Another point that the ulama bring out here is that it's possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have used what they call in Arabic, dhamir. Like, he could have referenced it. You know how we say he or him? So first, when we're talking about somebody, we'll mention their name. And then, as the conversation continues, we'll just refer back to him. We'll just reference him as he or him. So here, the ulama say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِهِمْ إِلَٰهِهِمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said that the Lord of the people, their king, and their God. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep repeating an-nas, an-nas, an-nas? So the answer is that in Arabic language, and in other languages also, repetition is often used for emphasis. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing. And number two, when we are praising somebody and when we are talking good about somebody, over here we will also use repetition for emphasis. So for example, if I was to say that my friend Muhammad is a very nice person, Muhammad is a very generous person, Muhammad is a very strong person, Muhammad is a very pious person, it sounds better when we are talking about somebody like that. It has more power and effect in these words than if I was to say that Muhammad is a nice person, he is a generous person, he is a strong person, he is a kind person. So there, when you are repeating the name constantly, there is a particular effect and strength in that speech that doesn't exist when we simply reference the person. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses repetition for emphasis. Moving on, some exegetes of the Holy Quran have mentioned that in Surah An-Nas, An-Nas is mentioned 5 times. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ أَلَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. So, some scholars say that each of these nas, means people, every single one of them have a different meaning. And they talk about different types of people at different stages of their life. They say that the first nas talks about children. How? Because it has been paired up with Rabb. And Rabba yurabbi tarbiyatan is a nurturer. And children are often nurtured. They are always nurtured. Next nas is paired up with Malik. So the ulama say that this nas is talking about young people, the youth. It says why? It says it's paired up with Malik. Malik means king. A king reflects power. When you associate a king with power, with wealth, with strength, with influence, with authority. And when a person is in his youth, these are the things that he craves the most. I wish I had wealth, I wish I was rich, I wish I had power, I wish people listened to me, I wish I had authority. So the third nas is talking about old people. It says, how do we know this? It is paired up with ilah. And ilah means the one who is worshipped. It says old people, mashallah, they spend time, most of the time in the masjid, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spending the time conversing and strengthening their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says that the fourth an-nas, الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. This nas is talking about pious people. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ, those who give evil whispers in the hearts of the people. This is that this fourth Nas is talking about pious people. Why? Because pious people are the ones that are most attacked by shaitan. Because shaitan attacks pious people more because he has a stronger iman to attack. He wants to, you know, when a thief wants to steal, if he's just going to steal, be a pickpocket, then he doesn't need that much intellect. He doesn't need that much, he doesn't need to be a super, you know, like a brainiac. He doesn't need to be a genius to be able to simply swipe something from Asda or pickpocket somebody. But if a person was to want to, you know, rob a bank or breaking into Buckingham Palace and steal the crown jewels, then he would have to have a plan. He would have to be some sort of genius, some mastermind. So he would need a higher caliber of criminal to be able to do that. So this is that the strongest shaitan will be the one who attacks the most pious people because their iman is more valuable than the iman of the weak Muslims. So they say that the fourth nas refers to the pious people and the fifth nas refers to the evil people who also contribute to the evil whispers of shaitan. Inshallah, we will explain that very soon. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي مِن شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. From the evil of the evil whisperers and al-khannas, the retreaters. What does this mean? To understand this, we look into the ahadith and we find that in the hadith, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that in the heart of insan, there are two compartments. One compartment is the compartment of the angels, and one compartment is the compartment of shaitan. One compartment is the compartment of the angels, and one compartment is the compartment of shaitan. So these two cannot be occupied at the same time. The reason being is that the angels come and they whisper good things to us. And they give us... The angels come and when they occupy their compartment, they whisper good things to us. They tell us, pray salah, give charity, respect your parents, take care of them. And they inspire us to do good deeds. And when the shaitan comes to his compartment, he seeks to whisper evil things to us and inspire us to do evil and to do commit sins. So it says that the question here is that from the two, who will win the battle? There's a battle here between the malaika, the angels, and there's a battle between the shayateen. So the answer depends on the person who is being of the subject here. And the answer is that when a person is busy in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the shaitan, he sits on the heart. We find this in one hadith. Shaitan sits on the heart of the human and he has like a trunk. And he puts it into the heart of the human. And if the human being is busy in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately I describe it as an allergic reaction. And shaitan, he takes his trunk out and he runs away. This shaitan is described in the Quran as khannas, the retreater. Because he cannot cope with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, when shaitan injects the human heart and he finds that the human heart is idle. You know, there's the famous saying in English as well, that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. So when he finds that this person is ghafil, he is idle and he is not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his trunk he starts to inject evil thoughts. And suddenly this person, he starts to have evil thoughts within him. That, oh, you know, I should go and commit this sin. Oh, I will commit this sin. I will commit this sin. And when this shaitan, who finds a human to be idle, and he manages to inject his evil thoughts into him, this shaitan in the Quran is described as waswas. Waswas, waswasa means evil whispers. And waswas is, in Arabic language, it's a form of mubalagha, it's a form of exaggeration, where shaitan here is described as an evil whisper. It's basically trying to say that shaitan is full of evil whispers. So he's been described as an evil whisper himself to reflect this. So when the shaitan manages to inject these evil thoughts into the human heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him as waswas. However, if the person is busy in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he runs away and then the angels come in and they are able to, you know, inspire this person to do good deeds. Maybe try it one day. You know, see, spend a day in doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying Quran, durood sharif. See how many good things you feel like doing. And you see, in other times when we are not, busy in the dhikr of Allah, we're not busy remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how many times do we feel like committing sin, going on the phone, going onto this website, going onto this profile, on this social media? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. In the final verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ, from the jinnat, from the jinn, and from the people. Now, it is common knowledge that Iblis and his group of followers, they are jinnat, and we've just described how they attack the human beings. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here also includes humans in this whole idea of injecting evil thoughts into the heart of the human being. So the question arises that, okay, fine, we understand. We've understood that the shayateen, you know, is described in hadith how they sit on the heart of the human and they inject evil thoughts. But how are humans part of this? How do humans inject evil thoughts into the hearts of the human? So the ulama, rahimahumullah, have mentioned and explained this, that this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is talking about good company and bad company. When we spend time in good company, we go and we spend time in the masjid, or we spend time in the company of pious people, what happens is there are a few things that happen. Number one, pious people, they are close servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So angels spend time in their company. Also, the pious people, they are always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it attracts the angel of mercy. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and blessings are constantly being showered upon these people. So when we go and spend time in their company, automatically we will also get some of these blessings and some of this mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in one hadith, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, talking about majlis of dhikr, is that the people who are part of that gathering, and even the people that walk past that gathering, they are forgiven. So the effects of this mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings down upon his pious servants not only affects the pious servant himself, but all of those around him. And so this is the benefit of spending time in good company. Sometimes we have this little bit of a misconception that, oh, you know, I go and spend time in the masjid, or I went to the bayan and he was talking in Urdu, I didn't even understand anything. And his bayan was so long, and how am I supposed to sit for so long? And what's the point? I don't understand what he's saying. The fact of the matter is that there are two ways of benefiting. One is benefiting from the talks of the people, of the pious people, and the talks of the ulama. We might gain some knowledge. We might be inspired to change our lives through their words and their advices. The second thing is what I already described, simply being in their company. Being in the company of the people, the pious people, even if your eyes close and you fall asleep. I'm not saying that go to bayans and fall asleep. But if that was to happen, it's just an example, that we go to a bayan and we fell asleep and we woke up and the bayan had finished, then we will still be benefiting from the company of the pious. I remember when I was, a few years ago, once Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Yunus Rahimullah, Jampuri Rahimullah, visited, mentioned him in the last talk as well, and how he was a victim of sihr. And he was a very great scholar. He was considered one of the, possibly, you know, he was, many scholars gave him the title of the muhaddith of this era. He was an expert in hadith, and maybe there was very few individuals in the world who had knowledge as high as his. He was a caliber of scholar that very rare, it's very rare that, you know, they have graced the world with their company. So he actually came to, he used to come to Blackburn every year. So I remember one of the years when he came, my ustad, the Sheikh Mawlana Ziaul Haq Sahib, Damul Barakatuhum, said to me, go and sit, go to Darul Uloom Blackburn, just go and sit there. Because even if Hazrat isn't speaking, or Hazrat isn't talking, or giving a sermon, or a dars, just go and sit in his company for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just sit there. What you will gain from that, I cannot even describe. So just sitting, just being in the company of the pious people itself has a great effect on us, a spiritual effect, and we can greatly benefit from being in the company of the pious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O believers, fear Allah and be with the truthful ones. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to spend time in the company of the pious people. Look at the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they spent time and they achieved the suhbah and the company of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They gained, in just a moment, they gained such a status that if we were to do ibadah and worship Allah for 1,000 years, we wouldn't be able to reach their company. You know, one person came to Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, and he asked him a question. He said to him that, what is the status of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the status of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah? Just for context, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a sahabi, and many groups have deviated from the ummah because they slander Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And for a little bit more context, the reason why this happens is that during the time of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an's army, his army and the army of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, unfortunately, due to some miscommunications and some issues, they ended up having a battle, a very famous battle, the Battle of Siffin. And so many people here, they slander Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, and they say that, oh, na'udhu billah, they say very nasty things about Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. And somebody came to Abdullah Mubarak rahimullah and said to him that, what's the status? And Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimullah, he was from the progeny of Hazrat Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. As far as I remember, he was his grandson, or great-grandson. I believe his grandson, Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. And he is commonly known as the fifth Khalifa of Islam. He has a very, very high status. During his time, there was justice in the world. It's a very, very beautiful and nice time during the time of Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. So somebody came with this question thinking that, you know, he's going to say that Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah's status is higher. So he says that, you know, when Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala was doing jihad, says that he was riding on a horse. And when you ride on a horse in a desert, the horse sweats. And the sand, it's, you know, flying. So what happens is the sand, it gets stuck in the mouth of the horse, in the nose of the horse, because of the wetness of the sweat. It says that the sand gets stuck there. So he said that, you know, when Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was out in jihad with my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, never mind Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and never mind the horse of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, you know, Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimullah cannot even be on the level of the sand stuck in the horse of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. This makes us understand the level that the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala and Majmeen, they're reached just in by spending a few moments with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this, you know, this power and this effect of the good company has been passed on now to the pious people of the Ummah and the scholars. And so we should also, we don't have the ability to sit in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but we have the ability to sit in the company of the pious people. So we should make a habit of sitting in the pious company, in the company of the pious people. This will greatly benefit us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. And then to move back to the tafsir and to explain min al-jinnati wal nas. Ulama say that when we spend time, just like when we spend time in the company of the pious people, when we spend time in the company of bad people, you know, they give us funny ideas, they give us bad ideas. Oh, let's go do this, and let's go do that, and let's go commit this sin, let's go commit that sin. And being in that company, you also feel like committing these sins. So, although it is not exactly like the whispers of the shayateen, over here the ulama explain that, yes, the people also have evil whispers. Sometimes it might just be general conversation with which you take, you know, bad effect from. Sometimes it can actually literally be somebody whispering to you saying, let's go and commit this sin. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to seek His protection from this as well. And then finally, Shaykh Izzuddin ibn Salam rahimullah, he says that this min al-jinnati wa nas, over here, this nas here, this people, is not talking about other human beings. It's actually talking about your nafs, your own self, your own desires. It's talking about your own desires, that when we are idle, when we are not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your own nafs, your own soul, your own desires, they whisper to you. And they say, oh, you know, why did you go and do this? Why did you go and do that? They make you feel in a certain, they make you feel inclined towards sin. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually commanding us, go and seek protection from yourself. And like that, one hadith states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi. That, oh Allah, I seek protection in you from the evil of my own self. And my Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam did not have any evil inside him. My Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was pure and he was good all the way through. He says in one hadith, my Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said that every single human has a shaitan with him. He said, my shaitan, faqad aslama. So he said, faqad aslama. So here the ulama bring out two meanings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alam, the first meaning is that aslama means he became a Muslim. And my shaitan, the shaitan, he spends time, obviously, with his tog. He's always spending time with it, trying to, you know, move us away from the dhikr of Allah and moving away us away from good. So my Nabi alayhi sallam, my shaitan, again the ulama bring out the effect of good company in this hadith. That, look at shaitan, the Prophet sallam's specific shaitan, he spends so much time in the company of Rasulullah sallam that he became Muslim as well. However, this is one opinion of the ulama. The second opinion of the ulama is to take the meaning of aslama here as surrendering. Aslama can also mean surrendering, to give up. You know? So the ulama say that no, actually this shaitan cannot become Muslim. And so actually the meaning here is that the shaitan that was, you know, had the task of attacking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave up because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's, you know, piety was just too high. It was impossible. It was mission impossible, you know, for this shaitan to do anything. So he gave up. So here, the purpose of this, that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us this dua to pray, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from the evil of myself. And then finally, just to conclude, the ulama say that generally speaking, human beings, we have two enemies. First enemy is our other humans. And the way we have been taught to deal with these humans, human enemies, is by treating them nicely, being good to them, showing them akhlaq, showing them respect. And then if they, you know, normally these things, when you be nice to people, even if it's your enemy, the enmity eventually runs out that, you know, this person is such a, how can I be enemies with him? It's a natural thing. If you hate somebody and suddenly they start giving you food, they start, you know, taking you out, they start treating you nicely, they treat you with love and respect. When you fall ill, they come and see you and they ring you up and say, oh, you're okay, I heard you've fallen ill. You can be the greatest enemy of someone, but if someone treats you like that, suddenly your enmity is going to start running dry and you're going to become a friend of this person. You know, many stories like this with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. However, I promised 40 minutes and time is running out now. And so this is how we deal with our human enemies. And if they don't desist and they don't stop from being an enemy, then in the end we have no choice but to fight with them. If they keep, if they keep pestering us, and in the end we will have to defend ourselves. So this is how we deal with human enemies. And it says that the second enemy is shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوًا فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. It says that shaitan for you is your enemy. So treat him like your enemy. It says that no, with shaitan there's no being good to him. And there's no trying to make him your friend. No. It says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us that there's only one way of dealing with the enemy who is shaitan, and that is by seeking protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. That the plan and the effect and the mockery of shaitan and the plan of shaitan, it is very weak. So don't think and don't become despondent and think that, oh, shaitan is so powerful, he's so strong. It's weak in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and deal with our shayateen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the attacks of shaitan. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And just to finish off, I wrote down a few virtues of قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, which we can put into practice into our lives, that are found in various books of ahadith. So I thought I'd just share this with us so that we can maybe inshallah put this into practice. I've also mentioned them earlier, but I thought this time I'll bring it with references. The first hadith that I found was in Muslim Sharif on the authority of Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala an, where it says that one night my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it was a night of darkness and heavy winds and bad weather. And he says that the Sahabas, they went out to find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Manabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said that, do you know that in this night, two chapters of the Quran have been revealed that there's no mithl, there's no similarity to them. They are unparalleled. And then the Sahaba Ridwanullah ta'ala jameen said, ya Rasulullah, what is this chapter? So Manabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, they are قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ أَنْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. In another hadith of Nasa'i Sharif, again on the authority of Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala an, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instructs us that when you are going to sleep, You should pray these surahs and blow on your hands and rub them all over your body. And when you wake up, you should do the same thing as well. This is in Nasa'i Sharif. One hadith which is in Abu Dawud Sharif and Nasa'i Sharif as well. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instructed us that after every salah, you should pray these surahs as well. I mentioned this last week as well, that we should try and add these two surahs at the end of every salah, along with Surah Al-Fatiha. We should try and read these surahs. So here the reference is in Abu Dawud Sharif and Nasa'i Sharif. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instructed the Muslim ummah that go and pray these two surahs after every salah. Imam Malik rahimahullah has brought a hadith in his Mu'atta. It says that it's on the authority of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who said that my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's habit was that whenever he would fall ill, he would read Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq and Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, and he would blow on his hands and he would rub his whole body. So from this we understand that when we are ill, then we should pray these two surahs. There is shifa in these two surahs for us as well. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha goes on to say that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his final illness, my Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was too weak to raise his hands and blow on them and rub on his body. Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that I recited Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq and Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. I took the hands of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I blew on the hands of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and then I took the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and I rubbed them all over his body. He says, Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, the effects of the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam would not be found in my hands. So, such love we find in the relationship between my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and our respected mothers. Since that my Nabi alayhi, she used to take his hands and she would blow on them and then she would rub them all over my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's blessed body. So again, we should try to act upon these things as well. One last final thing before we complete. The ulama, rahimahumullah, they bring out one other point. And they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the Holy Quran with Surah Al-Fatiha. In Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us and He shows us the way to success. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. By worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ, by being guided to the right path. And says that, how does a person act upon this commandment? By acting upon the teachings of the entire Quran. So between Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, there's the entire Quran in which we will find the answers to every aspect of life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us that if you go upon this path, you will find obstacles, you will find challenges. Shaitan will attack you because he does not want you to go on this path. He wants you to fail. He wants to take your iman off you. So if you go on this path, he will attack you. Now, how are you going to deal with this attack? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Read them. They will assure you protection from all the harms of this world and all harms of the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the scholars. You know, they took out so much time to write so many books, so we can easily understand the beauty of the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the evil of the world and the trials and tribulations of the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us complete protection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to become lovers of the Holy Quran and give us the true understanding of the Holy Quran. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. There's some time left for Maghrib Salah, so we can spend this time in dua and ibadah and durush sharif. Prophet ﷺ has instructed us to recite durush sharif in abundance. on the day of Jum'ah. And just one last announcement, inshallah, next week there will be no tafsir. Tafsir will continue the week after that. And the week after that, inshallah, we will continue with the tafsir of Surah Al-Ikhlas. Qul huwallahu ahad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallah.